Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. All right. There's a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to touch on. We have a full 20 hours this week, so we got more than enough time to get into it. I did tell you guys that I wouldn't complain. I can play the audio for you guys. I'll do that here in a little bit. I don't have, I would deem, many complaints. I don't. I have observations based on what we saw yesterday, and I think most people would agree that the way the Chiefs are currently playing is not good enough. Now, they won. I'm happy for that. They have a very important game coming up against the Baltimore Ravens. I don't plan on spending too much time this week talking about them beating the New York Giants because the Giants are not a good football team. That is a team that is about to replace its quarterback. That is a team that is about to fire their head coach and probably fire their general manager. They are a disaster. So most of my thoughts are related to the Chiefs and what they need to do to be playing better in a very difficult stretch of their schedule. They got the Ravens coming up. The Ravens are one of the five best teams in the National Football League. They got the Lions coming up in a couple of weeks. The Lions are one of the five best teams in the league. They play the Commanders. The Commanders could have their quarterback back. We'll see what that looks like. A team that made the NFC Championship game. You guys know the schedule. It's not really a cakewalk for this team as they continue to try to figure out some continuity and also continue to try to get healthy. But this is what I said on Friday about this game. So I don't care about style points. This is not the BCS. There is no college football ranking poll that you need to worry about. The Chiefs just quite simply need to score more points on Sunday than the New York Giants. That's all that matters to me in this one. You got to get that first W on the board.
But for me, and I'll use an example of a game last year of what I do not want to see on Sunday. If this feels like Chiefs and Panthers did last year, I will be mad on Monday. The Giants are an inferior team to you. It is that simple. You are better than them. I know it's the NFL and any given Sunday and it's their home opener, blah, blah, blah. If this is a game where you need a game-winning Butker field goal or like a 4th-and-7 stop and they're at the Chiefs 40 and they just don't have the kicker to make a big kick and ooh, it's woo-saw and win, I'm going to feel a little bit of a way.
So on one side of the coin, and you guys can tell me if I'm going back on my word. I can accept that. That's accountability. That's been like a big theme of the Chiefs for the first month of the season is accountability. The Chiefs won. That's great. It's absolutely great. They needed one. It's been a while since we talked about a win with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs did a lot of the little things that caused them to lose their first 2 weeks of the season. They did a lot of those things. Big Juwan Taylor, penalty on third down. Missed extra points, missed kicks. A lot of the little things that were maybe the one or two differences in those games just ended up not being a factor because the Giants, they're not good enough to make the Chiefs pay for making those mistakes. So I'm always going to hold the Chiefs to the standard of, are they playing well enough to win the Super Bowl? While also acknowledging right now that the Chiefs are, to me, operating at a deficit. I don't think the Chiefs have enough talent to do all of the things that I think they can do. Certainly not on offense. I think the defense has really turned a 180 since that season opening game against the Chargers. Their defense got exploited, I think, against Los Angeles. I thought they performed pretty well against the Eagles, and there was never a time in this game in which I was worried about the Giants beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Not at any stretch in the game. Even when I thought Kansas City was sleepwalking through the first 30 minutes of the game, I just don't think that Russell Wilson and that team and the talent, I don't think there is enough in that room to beat Kansas City. So you got past that hurdle. That is all I asked them to do. Why don't we start with this and then we can move on? Number one, Tyquan Thornton. I cannot say enough how important I think he is to this team. And I have been critical of Brett Veach, so I can't give criticism and not give praise when I do think he has done something incredible. This team found Tyquan Thornton basically on the scrap heap. A team gave up on Tyquan Thornton. They gave up on him. The Patriots, in the middle of his rookie contract, cut him in the middle of the season. In the middle of the season, just waived him. We don't want him anymore. The Chiefs then picked him up 3 days later. He went to the practice squad. We didn't spend a single minute last year talking about Tyquan Thornton. There was no reason to. This year, all he has done is kept his head down and done the work. That's what I appreciate. That's all Tyquan Thornton has done since he has gotten here. You don't even know what Tyquan Thornton looks like or sounds like. He has kept his head down. He has done the work. He outperformed guys at training camp. You guys remember that first training camp with Isaiah Pacheco? And remember that quote, "I came here to take a grown man's job"? Remember that? I think that was one of the first times you guys were like, "Man, I really like that guy. I like Isaiah." That's the kind of mindset you need on a team in which it felt like all of their roster spots were taken. "Hey, I'm coming here to take somebody's job. You got something that I want. I'm not going to ask you for it. I'm going to take it from you." And a guy that I bet you, if we go back and we look at Pete Sweeney's initial 53-man roster, I'm guessing he didn't have Tyquan Thornton on there. All the time that we spent arguing about Justin Ross and all of these other guys, that's what Tyquan Thornton actually turned into. A guy that we can talk about. A guy that can help them win football games. Right now, when their offense doesn't have a whole lot that they can lean on to, their offense doesn't have an identity right now. They can't run the football effectively, and they don't have the wide receivers in the passing game to get the ball to, and their tight end is old. How do you move the ball? How do you have explosive plays? How do you go win games? It's having more players like Tyquan Thornton in their offense. So this is the guy that we were not talking about, a guy who has been a critical part of your offense. To now, I'm thinking long term, and I'm thinking for the future. I don't care about the New York Giants. What does the offense look like when Tyquan Thornton goes from right now really your only explosive weapon to maybe being your like third or fourth explosive weapon? I like what I saw from Breshard Smith, and I want to see them utilize him more in the passing game. What I want to see the Chiefs do is I want to see them move away from Hollywood Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster and guys who are clearly on their back nine, and I want to see them continue to emphasize players who are between 22 and 25 years old. That's where you get explosive plays from. You get explosive plays from explosive players and young guys with still juice. Tyquan obviously has a lot of juice. Breshard Smith, a former wide receiver, finding creative ways to get him the football in space and allow him to just use his natural movements to make guys miss and break tackles. The Chiefs have enough there to cobble together a competent offense, but you got to limit mistakes. You got to call plays that highlight what guys do really well, and you got to get the ball in the hands of the guys that can make plays. And I think we have an idea of who that is through the first 3 weeks of the season and who they need to emphasize more into their offense.
You will not hear an argument from me about Tyquan Thornton. I would even say I'll take it a step further. I'll go a step beyond what you're saying because we see this so similarly. I think when Xavier Worthy is healthy, or maybe not healthy, he dislocated his shoulder. Back on the football field. Full participant in practice, back with the offense. When Rashee Rice returns from his suspension, I would like wide receiver 3 to not be Marquise Brown. I would like it to be Tyquan Thornton. Because the stats, if you lay them out, have shown Tyquan Thornton has been a more effective wide receiver for the Chiefs than Marquise Brown has. Also, I'm adhering to the text line rule. I'm calling him Marquise right now and not Hollywood. The Chiefs may have found something in a 20-something jolt-to-life guy to their offense. You know what I want the wide receiver room to look like? More of those guys, less Juju, less Hollywood Brown. Less 28-year-olds who are chasing one-year contract checks, and more guys who are looking to get actual paydays because their prime is still ahead of them. We see Tyquan Thornton the exact same way, and we could spend the next 49 minutes of the show praising Brett Veach for finding him because it looked like not only the Patriots, but the NFL had quit on him because they added him on a reserve contract. Kudos to Brett, but it is a win that he's playing well. It's a win that they found him. Now, lean into what he is and lean into what you need to be explosive, which is young and athletic. And let's get less Hollywood Brown time and more Tyquan Thornton time.
I also think that we need to spend this time giving the defense a lot of credit for what we saw them do. They completely locked down Malik Nabers and that offense. Now, there is enough there on the Giants that they got some pieces. They do. They have some pieces. Cam Scataboo is a piece. Malik Nabers is a piece. Wandale Robinson. They got guys on that team. The Chiefs defense completely shut all of that down. They eliminated Malik Nabers from this game. He was a non-factor in this game. He didn't do anything. He didn't hurt you in this game. Wandale Robinson, he had one catch for 26 yards in this game. Really, the only player that did anything in the Giants offense was Cam Scataboo. And we could talk about him more, I guess. Man, I really wanted the Chiefs to get him. I don't even think he's really playing that hindsight 2020 thing to me. If you're somebody that watches a lot of college football, or maybe you don't watch a lot of college, you just watch the college football playoff, and you got a chance to see that running back from Arizona State, you're thinking, oh, that guy, he's pretty good. Yeah, no, he was really good. He was one of the three best running backs in college football last year. And we're not talking about a guy that went 11th overall. We're not talking about Ashton Jeanty. No, we're talking about a guy who went in the fourth round. Now, I don't try to play GM all the time, not when it comes to the draft, but it was just pretty clear when you watch Cam Scataboo last year, man, he's just going to be a productive player in the league. And when you look at the comparisons, I know the comparisons that we'll make because he's a white running back. I don't think many of those are accurate. You know who he looks like to me? He looks like Isaiah Pacheco. They've had this back before. Physical, violent runner that can catch the ball out of the backfield, plays with a lot of energy. That's who I think Cam Scataboo is. If there is one player who realistically the Chiefs could have got this past year in the draft, then if you were saying, hey, now that we've seen it, let's press rewind, let's go back, and who should we pick up? I would have picked Cam Scataboo. I really would have. He just made the most sense to me with the kind of offense that they are and what I think they need. And maybe the Cam Scataboo thing doesn't work for the next 7-8 years. I don't care about that. I don't think you guys should care about that. If you don't think the Chiefs should be in the business of paying running backs long-term because you don't think it's good value, then to me, you're looking for the Cam Scataboo types. You're looking for the guys that you can get 2 to 4 years of really good production out of, and the moment you think that you're not going to get great production out of them, they need to go to get another one. You got to think of Cam Scataboo like a cheap television. You don't buy a cheap television to last you for 10 years, you buy it because right now you need a TV. So you put that TV up there, you watch all the Netflix you can, all the games that you can, and the moment when the picture goes out, you don't look to take it to the repair shop. No, you go back to Best Buy and you buy another $120 TV. You know that it's going to break. That's what getting Cam Scataboo had been. So again, I don't even think this is playing the hindsight 2020. I know we could go back and I was saying, man, that Cam, I know I was saying this. That's the kind of running back that they need in their system that you don't have to spend a lot of money on. He wasn't a first-round pick, wasn't a second-round pick. You don't need to spend a premium asset, but looks like a guy who could help transform your offense. That's the kind of player that I wanted the Chiefs to get all offseason.
I mean, I feel like there's gonna be a lot of guys in the league this year that me and you are gonna say, hey, remember when we said draft that guy? Hey, remember when we said draft that guy? Hey, remember last year watching college football? I remember that guy. Why didn't they draft him? We don't need to rehash it. The Chiefs waited till the very last possible minute, to draft a running back, which I don't think that was good enough in the draft. And Cam Scataboo was one of those names that me and you, big college football fans, were excited about potentially adding in the draft. And you know what? We'll talk about him later in the week. Noel Williams, the guy they took instead at the end of the third round.
He was good.
He was good.
So for sure. Absolutely.
So maybe not Scataboo, but there are other rounds and other players that me and you can point to. And that's my point. I don't think we're done saying, hey, that player who's performing well on that other team the Chiefs played, he's a rookie. It would be nice to get him. Heck, Brett Veach mentioned in his pre-draft press conference, this is a super deep running back draft. And he took one at the very, very end of the draft. And I feel like as time goes on, we're going to think more and more, oh, they should have got one instead. But Cam Scataboo showed he looks like a pro yesterday. And the Chiefs could really use a pro at running back.
And you can't go back. You can't now undo the draft. And I think Noel Williams is going to end up being a good player for this team, and it will all be for naught. But I just want you guys to bookmark this. And next offseason, when we are having this conversation, that's the kind of running back that I want the Chiefs to get. That's the kind of investment I think you can make. I was never saying the Chiefs needed to go out and spend $20, $30 million at the position. When I was screaming, do what the Broncos are doing. This is kind of what the Broncos did. They went out and they got J.K. Dobbins, who was actually proven to be pretty decent. I mean, he'll probably break at some point, but you ain't spend a whole lot of money on J.K. Dobbins. And he has been a positive for the Broncos. And they got R.J. Harvey. That's who they got. The Giants, it's not like they spent a whole bunch at running back. They got Tyrone Tracy, who's fine, and they got Cam Scataboo. But you got some choices. You got some options. You got some weapons. And Cam Scataboo, I mean, he was the only thing they had going offensively yesterday. The only thing that they had going. That's just the kind of player that I want them to add to this offense. I think there's a lot of juice there. And I think that was something that we saw for quite some time. All right, Rob, there's a lot of stuff that I want to get into in the 5 o'clock hour, but I know we got to get to the hits. Hit the button.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Carrying to the hits, presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. You want to talk about Travis Kelce here, or do you want to wait for
Travis
Kelce?
Let's wait for Travis Kelce for the middle segment. We'll talk about Travis Kelce. There's certainly a lot to talk about.
Let's talk about the player that he's been angry at then, another player who draws the ire of Chiefs fans, and that's their right tackle, Juwan Taylor, who just 10, 11 days ago, their offensive coordinator told me, hey, we're going to get this corrected. He knows it. We have to be better, this, that, and the other. Well, another Sunday where there were penalties on Juwan Taylor that were drive killers. Carrington fans, coaches, everyone preaches accountability. Juwan Taylor continues to have the same issue, so much so NBC had a graphic ready to go. What is going on with the Chiefs right tackle, and is it changing anytime soon?
That's the part in all of this that just, it trips me out, if I'm being honest with you, and you can fade the music down. That's the part that trips me out. So I know this process well enough. They have a big meeting. And they go over all of the graphics that they plan on using. Hey, if you got any idea, tell our graphic team. It's their job to create these graphics. And when you need them, we will put them on the screen. These meetings happen at these big time networks. The fact that they had a Juwan Taylor illegal formation graphic ready to go should tell the Chiefs everything they need to know. It is expected that this is going to happen at some point. It is something that we feel like we can set our watch to when it comes to this offense. Something that we are counting on when it comes to this offense. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree, maybe you think this is a negative opinion to have. The Chiefs don't have enough on offense to overcome their kicker missing kicks and their right tackle committing penalties that take first downs or touchdowns off the board. They don't have enough to be able to do it. They don't have enough firepower. The Chiefs are not going to be able to out-talent anybody. But how they can beat people is they can out-execute and out-coach other teams. Well, part of that execution is your kicker being money. When you line up for a kick, you make that kick and you don't leave possessions open. Another way you can do it is by when you get a 17-yard run on 3rd and 12 to extend the drive, when you see that flag, we all know who the penalty is on. I know I'm not the only one that feels this when we watch the game. When you see it's a penalty and you see where the penalty is, you don't think it's on Creed Humphrey. You don't think it's on Trey Smith. You know who the penalty is on. It's just a lot for them to overcome. And you can overcome that against the New York Giants. It's going to be a lot harder to be able to overcome that against the Baltimore Ravens or the Detroit Lions as they are trying to get back healthy and get right. That's why I asked the question when we started the show earlier today. I think that their offense is going to be drastically different when you get Rashee Rice and when you get Xavier Worthy. It's going to be drastically different. I don't think the expectation is going to be that those two guys are going to be able to solve every problem that the Chiefs have on offense, because one of the problems that they have on right now on offense is their right tackle. And you can show me what Pro Football Focus says, or, oh, well, he's really good when he doesn't commit penalties. Well, he commits penalties more than any other player in the National Football League. So I can't take away the negative things. I can't. I'm sorry. Like, that counts. So how do you eliminate those negative plays? Are they ready to go to Jalen Moore at right tackle? Because they've never really had another option at right tackle. They have another option. They have another option. We're not talking about Kingsley. He hasn't been the problem. They don't have a problem at left tackle. Josh Simmons has performed beautifully over there at left tackle. He's been one of the best rookies in the National Football League. They got a right tackle problem, and they have a solution to it. So at some point, I don't want to talk about the contract anymore. Yes, they owe him a lot of money. They also gave Jalen Moore a lot of money. At this point, somebody who makes a lot of money is just going to be on the bench. That's how this works now. If you're not doing anything at left tackle, and no one's saying they should, then somebody who makes a lot of money is not going to be playing. Is it going to be the guy who has committed? He's committed 7 penalties this year in their first 3 games. 7. 3 of those have happened on 3rd downs. Your offense just isn't good enough to overcome all of those things. It's hard enough in the National Football League. It's hard enough. And you're making it harder for yourself by continuing to carry Jawan Taylor. So their coordinators talk on what, Thursday? Let's hear what Matt Nagy has to say on Thursday. Because the last time that he spoke about this and said, we have to do something different, he has committed 3 penalties since then. He has committed a penalty in every game that they have had. This team is not good enough to overcome that routinely and not get to where they want to go, especially when for the first time you got a backup option of what you can do if these penalties continue. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the blow-up between Travis Kelce and Andy Reid on the sideline. Keep it right here, so drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Someone sent this text in, and I don't know how I've turned into the city's Matt Nagy defender, but that's just my role. Is Matt Nagy paying you or what? Is that why you don't talk negatively about him? Switch the scheme and the running backs will be fine. Switch the scheme and the receivers will be fine. Switch the lack of accountability from Nagy and the O-line will be fine. This is just an assumption on my part. You want to know why I think Travis is yelling at Andy? Because he's the one calling the plays. I think if Matt Nagy was the one calling the plays or setting up the scheme, I think that Travis Kelce would be yelling at him if that was the case. The same way I thought with Eric Bieniemy, I thought you guys were just kind of hard on Bieniemy. And I know now that Bieniemy's everybody's BFF and he was the one holding him accountable. But when the Chiefs offense was arguably the best in the league, you guys didn't like the play caller, the perceived play caller then, and wanted him gone too. So I get it. Nagy's the easy one right now to be mad at. And I mean, their offense is just, it's broken in a lot of ways. So this isn't I'm not defending Nagy. I'm not defending, I don't think Pat played that well at times yesterday. And there are throws that he makes he misses that you have to make as a player. I just think with Nagy, I just don't think he has that amount of control. Like, we think that the way they run the football is because of Matt Nagy. No, I think that's Andy. I think all of this is Andy. I don't think that Andy has done a great job in terms of utilizing his talent the best and getting them in the best positions to succeed. So I get it. You guys are mad at the offensive coordinator, mad at the play call. I'm not. I understand how this thing works. But I don't think that Nagy has the control of it. No one on the team seems to be mad at him. They seem to be mad at the coach because I think he's the one on game day. I think that's his role and responsibility. I think it comes down to Andy Reid. There's no reason to be throwing screen passes to Travis Kelce. That's over. That's done. I wouldn't throw him a screen pass, that little shovel pass they ran for 3 years that stopped working. I wouldn't be doing any of that. I think that Andy is the mastermind of all of it. I think he's always been it. So the play calling and how the offense functions to me is always going to be an Andy problem and not Matt Nagy or Eric Bieniemy or Mike Kafka or any of these other guys. I think that's what Andy does. That's one side of it. The thing to me about Kelce that is just... it's just frustrating to me when it comes to Travis Kelce is I don't have a problem with you being the fiery leader guy. I also understand that sometimes football players and people in high stressful situations get mad. Like, we got examples of that. So I'm not mad when players do this or do that. I get it. It's a very emotional, physical game. There's things happening. Sometimes you say something. Hey, you guys dap up. You go your own separate way and that's it. But we all watch the NFL. Have you seen another player in the last, let's say, year go up to their head coach and have a shouting match with their head coach to where the head coach chest bumps the player like we saw yesterday? We're talking about this earlier. And people are like, oh, well, the cameras just don't catch it. Wait, you're telling me in NFL games, this happens between star player and head coach, and we just miss it when it happens? Like, I don't think we can find videos of Saquon Barkley being mad where he goes up to the coach and they get into an argument, chest bump, and we just don't have the footage from it. I don't think it happens as often as it happens with Travis Kelce. Now, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But this is where I think you need to, as a team, continue to challenge Travis to be the best leader that he can be. When he goes on these little tirades and screams and yells and throws things, does it appear to be to you guys that it's motivating anybody? Do you guys get the sense that when Travis goes on this, guys are listening intently and focused and now want to go out and they're trying to win one for the Gipper because Travis got mad? Or does it appear to you guys that the rest of the team just kind of has the, oh, that's Travis. Like, that's what he does sometimes. Travis has a little temper tantrum. Somebody calms him down. He's back to being cool. I mean, we love him, but hey, that's who he is sometimes on the sideline. He's done this 3 times this season. Week one, he goes up to Jawan Taylor. Now, I get it. Jawan Taylor was frustrating me. I'm sure he was frustrating you. He goes up to him, yells at him, headbutts him. All right, it's cool. All right, whatever. All right. I mean, I would handle it a little bit differently, but okay. All right, fine. Week two, on the sideline, he throws his helmet, is clearly yelling at everybody else, and it was kind of a, okay. Yesterday, I think Andy got tired of it. The energy that Andy gave to me is, we've talked about this privately before. You're not going to continue to do this. You're not going to continue to come up to me when you're mad after something doesn't go your way or you're unhappy about something, get in my face and start screaming. Like, this was the first time in which Andy, to me, seemed like he was the aggressor and he was on offense than just being on defense. Hey, you've done this before. You did this in the Super Bowl. You came up to me. You were screaming. You knocked me down. We got up. We chopped it up. Hey, I get it. You're a fiery player. This was the first time that Andy was kind of giving it back a little bit. And I was like, good. Stop letting Travis have these temper tantrums on the sideline because they're not helping anybody. That's not part of being a leader. It's not part of it. And you've been doing this too long. You're too good of a player. You're too respected in the league to act like this. We all watch the NFL. Nobody else is doing it as often as Travis has so far this season. And I get it. It's frustrating. And maybe it's a good cop, bad cop. Maybe Pat wants to be the one that gets mad, but he doesn't get mad in that way. I mean, we've seen sometimes when he does get mad. And Travis is the one that's doing this. But it just doesn't feel like it's having the effect that maybe people want it to have. After he does yells and screams, it's not like we've seen their offense just spark and turn things around. This isn't some Mike Moustakas speech in 2015. Let's go win one for the Gipper. We're not playing well enough. It just seems like a player that's mad, that's frustrated at who knows what it is. I think Travis is mad that he can't help the team in the ways that he used to be able to help them. When the Chiefs didn't have this thing or this thing, they could always rely on 8-7. He would have 7 catches for 110 yards and 2 touchdowns, and he could single-handedly carry their offense. I don't think he can do that anymore. I just think he's another guy. He can be productive. He can help you, but he can't take over a game. He's not a superstar player anymore. He's a superstar personality. He's not a superstar player in this league anymore. So I think that part of Travis's frustration, I think a large part of his frustration is, I can't do the things that I'm used to and accustomed to be able to doing. And this is the first time that you kind of got to live with that. That for the 12 years you've been in the league, you have been a dynamic playmaker on third down. Come to me. I'm going to make a big play. I can do certain things. And I just don't think physically he has that anymore. And I think at times in the game, he just gets too hot, gets too emotional, and lashes out and screams at everybody. It's not the worst thing in the world, but just we're all in this together, working towards one common goal to try to help and try to win. And I think it is impossible to look at the way that the team responds to this, the way that his head coach responds, and thinks that Travis acting this way is having a positive effect on anybody. If anything, I just don't think guys are even listening or paying attention to it. I don't think it is. I do not think that it is helping the team right now. And I think part of challenging him to be a better leader is just to, hey, we got to find a way to channel this a little bit better. I told you guys this yesterday. It's just a lot of talking on the Chiefs right now. A lot of it. Most of you guys aren't playing well enough. You guys aren't playing well enough to be doing all the talking that you guys are doing. That's what makes me kind of appreciate what Tyquan Thornton is doing. I'm keeping my head down. I'm just making the plays that come to me. And when my number gets called, cool, I'm going to make a play. They need more guys right now in that offense to kind of have that mindset right now. Hey, I'm going to do the best that I can. I'm going to keep making plays, and I'm going to keep grinding and keep pushing forward. That's what I want their offense to be.
I feel like, and the text line's pointing this out, and you have too, I feel like it is obvious that he's frustrated with everything. He's not as good as he once was. I think he's a little slower than he once was. The offense is not as good as a lot of people anticipate. It's not as good as he wants it to be. They're not playing up to a championship standard. It's all those things. I understand his frustrations. I get frustrated watching the Chiefs offense. I cannot imagine being inside the Chiefs offense. It must be mind-numbing at times. But it's clear now after 3-4 weeks between the Super Bowl and the first 3 weeks this year, yelling at people on the sideline isn't correcting any of the problems. It's fine to voice your frustration. It's fine to be angry. It's fine to demand a higher level of success. All those things are fine. But if your solution is, I'm going to be fire people up on the sideline guy, if we have an evidence of four games, fire people up on the sideline guy, it not working, you got to change course. Because screaming and shouting has not worked. You headbutt Juwan Taylor, Juwan Taylor still committing penalties. You got into a little verbal spat with Andy Reid in the Eagles game. You got into a verbal spat with Andy Reid in the, I guess, a physical altercation to an extent with Andy Reid during the Giants games. And people are still frustrated, and the offense is still frustrating. If you're going to be a leader, you can't just be rah-rah, scream and shout guy. You got to find something else to do, and that's where Travis Kelce is. We cannot be on Monday talking about, like, oh, he had another little tirade on the sideline trying to fire people up. We know that that version is not working, so find something else to do.
Yeah, someone on the text line says, CDOT, have you watched it? Have you watched the video for real? Andy Reid is going up and attacking Kelce. Kelce didn't start anything. We've all seen Andy Reid's demeanor on the sideline. Kelce starts yapping the way that he usually starts yapping, and I think Andy goes up to him and basically is like, bro, stop. Like, we've done this before. I don't think that Kelsey's just coming off the sideline quiet, not saying anything, and Andy just flies off a handle and goes up and chest bumps him. I just don't think that's what happened. Like, I don't know how you get that from the video that we saw yesterday. I just don't think that this is common. And I think there are certain guys on this team you're looking for, and you're looking for them to set the tone of how to handle things. Guys that have been there, guys who have been to Pro Bowls, guys who have been all pros. You got three Hall of Famers on your team. You got Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, and Chris Jones. Set the example of how you conduct yourself. That's part of being a leader and holding guys accountable. And I'm just tired of the cycle of Travis does this, he doesn't answer questions, he then goes on his podcast with his brother, he then tells a story about how he's going to be better, how much he loves Andy Reid, and then we start the same process again and we say the exact same thing. Bro, just do it. That's part of being accountable too. How is what you're doing holding yourself accountable? It's the opposite of accountability. They need Travis to be part of the solution right now with their offense. Their offense is not magically fixing if Xavier Worthy plays on Sunday. Like that is not the magic elixir to fixing all of their offense. They need a good, productive, healthy, helpful Travis Kelce. So be that player for this team right now. And in those moments, it just doesn't, to me, come off as somebody who is doing this for the betterment of the group. It comes off as somebody who was selfish in that moment. And he's far too talented, far too good of a person to operate that way on the sideline. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
That sequence from Russell Wilson toward the end of the game is quite possibly the worst sequence that you could have as a quarterback. And whenever Russell Wilson gets replaced as the quarterback of the Giants, you don't really have to look much further than that play right there. Like that's everything. That's all of it. That is exactly why Jackson Dart is going to take over. Like you didn't even give guys a chance. You didn't give anybody a chance to make a play. You can't throw it out of bounds three out of the four times. Throwing an interception there, I mean, it's not ideal, but on fourth down, that's definitely not the worst thing that can happen. You got to throw a ball up in the air, you get a pass interference, you get something. He threw the ball through the uprights. No one's catching that. Not a single person. Rob, I don't know if you could have a much more, I don't know, difficult start to the season than what the Ravens have. They played on the road against Buffalo in week one. They play Detroit tonight on Monday Night Football, and then they go on the road to play Kansas City. I mean, that's a tough opening month if you are the Baltimore Ravens. We got Monday Night Football today between the Ravens and the Lions, two of the five best teams in the league. Who do you like tonight?
I really think the Ravens are one of the best teams in the NFL. If they had just played a little bit of a fourth quarter against the Bills, I think they're 2-0 right now. We're talking about a team that's like, oh man, they look incredible. Mitch Holt said earlier, I think this is the best team they've had around Lamar Jackson. I think they're at home and they're playing well. I think they're going to win tonight.
Yeah, I'm probably going to take them to win this game too. This Lions team, man, it kind of stinks that one of these two teams is going to end up being 1 or 2. Now, there's
also
much more.
This Lions team lost to a really good Packers team and blew out a Bears team. I don't think it's very good. So I don't know what the Lions are after 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm with you. I still think they're pretty good. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get an answer for the Lions. Like, they kind of get a chance to get right after this. They play Cleveland and Cincinnati in back-to-back weeks, so they could be sitting there at 3-2 by the time they come into Kansas City for what should be a really important Sunday night game for both teams. But, yeah, just looking at this Lions team, looking at this game tonight, really looking forward to it. I think we got two really good teams. I mean, these are two of the next three opponents for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I expect a lot of people in Kansas City to watch this game as well. I expect a lot of people in Kansas City to be kind of locked in on what we have coming up today for Sunday night football, or Monday night football, excuse me. Did you see that DraftKings is doing a little bit of a boost today on their little special? So I just want to let you know that, Rob. I know you like to play a little DraftKings from time to time. Let me help you out here.
I mean, after my Sunday, I don't know if I want to play anything recently. I got pounded on Sunday. Just bad, bad, bad betting.
Yeah, I mean, I was okay. I didn't have a great Saturday. Kind of got me more than anything.
I had the opposite. I had a really good Saturday, and then
I did not. No one that I thought was going to score a touchdown scored a touchdown. I need to just bet on Ahmad Hardy to score a touchdown every single week. It was funny. I was between Jamal Roberts and Bo Perbula, and Jamal Roberts scored, and I bet on Perbula because, of course, that's how it always works. I just thought they'd give him a little quarterback keeper around the end zone. All right, I appreciate you guys. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to start to shift to the Ravens game a lot earlier than we normally would, but, I mean, the Giants are not a good football team. Take care of yourself. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.